This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to talk about a big deal we're ignoring tonight. We're going to talk to Tommy Robinson, what's going on over there in the UK, a former boxer, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Let's talk about something gigantic, because we have a gigantic show for you tonight. There's all kinds of things happening. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight is the weaponization of government. Tommy Robinson is here talking about what's going on in the UK. But along those lines, I want to make sure we're staying focused. You see, this is what happens now, and it's understandable. We're in August, election year. It's getting late in the game. And what's every news story about? Trump, Kamala Harris, J.D. Vance, Tim Walz. Trump, Kamala Harris, J.D. Vance, Tim Walz. Trump... on and on and on. And it's not that those things don't matter. I realize we have a presidential election coming up. It's big. But there are much, much bigger things happening in the world and America than one election, albeit a very big, very important election. So let's discuss the big evil thing with the DOJ here. Before we get to that, because this will lead me into that. Let me ask you something. Have you ever run into a communist, a Democrat, I'm sorry, but a communist who is violent? Or maybe if they're not physically violent with you, they kind of give their tacit approval for violence. Have you ever seen in your life, have you ever seen maybe online or something like that, a Democrat, maybe an elected Democrat, maybe it's your liberal Aunt Peggy, say something along the lines of, someone post his address. Hey, let's get his address out there. You've seen it, haven't you? Everyone's seen it. Well, let's walk down that road. Why would they say that? They say that because they want you hurt or whoever they're talking about. And look, they do it to me all the time. It's happened to me many times. Post his address. Why? They want someone to hurt you. Usually it's not they themselves who intend to hurt you. They're not shining the guns and the knives to come to your home, but look, someone should post his address is a threat of violence. That's what it is. It's a threat. It's a desire to see you hurt. Communists are violent. It's not what they do. It's who they are. It's why every single place this sick religion manages to take over, people die en masse. They die in droves. They can't help themselves. It's woven into their DNA. But how do you get so many people to go along with acts of violence? You ever wonder that? We've talked before about things like the Cultural Revolution in China. struggle sessions. This is going to come back to the DOJ here in a moment. Stay with me. Struggle session was what? They would gather a crowd of people around someone who committed some thought crimes or something like that. And they would drag this person, men, women, children, they would drag them on stage in front of thousands of people, and they would humiliate them, torture them in terrible ways, oftentimes execute them, and they didn't execute and torture and hurt these people to crowds chanting, please stop, mercy, no. They did this time and time again to the crowd cheering, demanding more, make him bleed, hurt him. What? How could all these people turn so violent? Well, here's one of the main ways the communist gets people to commit acts of violence on his behalf. In fact, you could probably argue it's the main way. Communists are nasty and violent because communists have figured out, they have mastered the art of pretending as if their opponent is the bad guy, the violent one, the evil one. Almost every single time you've seen some filthy Democrat on Facebook scream about, post this address, it's in response to a perceived act of violence to the other side. After all, the greatest way to get people to commit acts of violence is to convince them it's A, for the greater good, and B, an act of self-defense. I was just fighting back, after all. That's why when you see Dome rallying people, rallying Democrats across the country, saying things like this, understand she says it. She knows it's a lie, but she says it for a reason.
That he would weaponize the Department of Justice against his political enemies. That he would round up peaceful protesters and throw them out of our country.
I know what you're saying. What's she talking about? They've been doing that to January 6 protesters. We just hit number 1,500. They've been using the FACE Act to lock up their political opponents. 97% of FACE Act prosecutions are pro-lifers, not Antifa dirtballs firebombing pregnancy centers. Pro-lifers, pastors, little old ladies, they're the ones locking up their political opponents. They're the ones committing acts of violence. They're the ones weaponizing the DOJ. I know this, you know this. So why do they say these things when they're the ones who are guilty of these things? Because these are the things that prompt the street communist, your liberal Aunt Peggy, to commit the acts of violence elected Democrats want committed in this country. That's why they can spend 3.5 years arresting peaceful meemaws, school board moms, and pastors, and yet they will stand in front of legions of Democrats who will talk about Donald Trump and scream, somebody lock him up!
Here's the thing. The courts are going to handle that. We're going to beat them in November. We're going to beat them in November. Okay? We'll beat them in November. We'll handle that.
We'll handle that. Give the braying mob exactly what it asks for. Every single scumbag in that crowd chanting, lock him up, somehow believes in their sick, twisted commie head that that is an act of self-defense, that Trump has gone after his political opponents. If anything, Trump was way too kind to his political opponents, and yet everyone in that crowd would love to see him thrown in a cage the rest of his life, of course, in self-defense. That's what he's gonna do! This is how all the communists operate. This is how they justify all the evil things they do. Remember when we had 51 former intelligence heads, CIA guys, CIA directors, come out and lie about Hunter Biden's laptop being Russian disinformation. They lied about it. How in the world could, whether they're Republican, Democrat, how in the world could that many men of accomplishment, accomplished spies, be so willing to put their name, their signature on an outright lie they knew to be an outright lie? Well, of course, they all justified it by, well, it's to stop Trump. We have to stop Trump. Stop Trump at any cost. Remember what Mark Zuckerberg said the FBI did to him?
The FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation went to social media to demand a Hunter Biden story that would damage Joe Biden's election chances be buried, and it was a story they knew was true. If you're an FBI agent committing that terrible act, how in the world could you justify such evil? Well, it's to stop Trump, of course. It's in self-defense, of course. That's why to this day, the main FBI guy behind it, Elvis Chan, brags about it.
I was very involved. Our field office, FBI San Francisco, was very involved in helping to protect the U.S. elections in 2020. And I think we can all agree, or I think many of us can agree, that it was a very safe election. We talked with all of these entities I mentioned regularly, at least on a monthly basis, and right before the election, probably on a weekly basis, right? If they were seeing anything unusual, if we were seeing anything unusual, sharing intelligence with technology companies, with social media companies, so that they could protect their own platforms, right?
They brag about it. How could you commit an act of evil and then openly brag about committing acts of evil? Why are they so violent? Why is it woven into them? Why is post his address the standard Democrat post somewhere? Well, they've convinced themselves they're the good guy, and they've convinced themselves in their sick, demonic little heads that it's all in self-defense. That's why your liberal Aunt Peggy wanted your children taken away from you and you thrown into a quarantine camp when you didn't get your 19th booster shot. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And you want to see the final fruits of a completely weaponized police state? Tommy Robinson has been attacked by England over and over again, and he joins us next to tell his unbelievable story. Stay tuned to that one. And after you're done listening to Tommy Robinson, you may have trouble sleeping tonight knowing that kind of thing is already happening here. Well, that's what Dream Powder from Beam is all about. You see, Beam decided they needed something, America needed something, not that helps you sleep. There are a lot of things that'll help you sleep. They needed something that would help you sleep and make you feel good when you woke up. That's the difference with Dream Powder. Because it's all natural stuff, not a bunch of chemical filth. It's all natural stuff, melatonin, things like that. It's a delicious cup of hot chocolate. My kids beg me for it. I won't give them any because it's so delicious. Mine is cinnamon chocolate. Sip on it before bed, you'll drift off to sleep, and you'll wake up taking off like a rocket ship. Go get 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The documentary you're about to watch is the most important documentary I've ever made. This story is far bigger than Tommy Robinson. This is about the weaponization and the politicization of these buildings. Court buildings across the West. The Royal Courts of Justice, ironically named. These buildings have been weaponized and used against members of the public to destroy them if they speak out. From Donald Trump to Steve Bannon to Geert Wilders to Marie Le Pen to Katie Hopkins. That's what's happening. My job as a journalist, I stand for freedom of speech, I stand for freedom of the press. And I failed, because 3 years ago when I lost a court case in here, and they bankrupt me to the tune of £1.6 million. On a documentary, you're going to see the entire story was a lie, okay? I failed because I should have come out of court and I should have played you that film. Why didn't I play you that film? Because I was given a gagging order by this building, by this judge. I was silenced, and I allowed them to silence me because I was scared. I was scared of 2 years in prison. I was scared of the effect that solitary confinement for that length of time would have on me. I was scared of jihadi gangs in jail, and I was scared of the effect it would have on my family. I failed me and I failed you. I'm not going to fail myself again.
I'd call that man a lot of things. A failure is not one of them. Joining me now, a man who understands to have the state, what it means to have the state turn on him and his people, Tommy Robinson, British journalist. That documentary is called Silence. I want to make sure you go watch it. Watch what is coming here. Watch what is happening there. Okay, first, Tommy, for those who don't know you beyond that 1 minute introduction, tell us who you are before we get to what you've been through and what's happening over there.
I'm a journalist, I'm an activist, and I come from a town called Luton, which is 30 miles north of London. When I was born in 1982, we had one mosque, we now have 45. So I speak openly about the border, the problems from mass open border immigration, the problems it brings, the hostility it brings, the cultural problems it brings. And these are all problems that the government need to hide because they're to do with their policy failures. So we had an entire rape of a generation of our daughters, which was a conspiracy of silence from government and police leaders to cover it up. We formed an organisation in 2009 where thousands and thousands of English men took to the streets across the country to scream for help, to cry for help. And what came out in the reports and the investigations once the police were forced to start dealing with it is that police forces across the country knew it was happening, but they were too scared to deal with it. This is the power of political correctness. If you want to ever think how powerful it is, it paralysed an entire police force across our country to make arrests or protect children. We had children raped, murdered across the whole UK. We had 1,400 children in the small town of Rotherham, 1,000 children in the small town of Telford. I've made a 5-part series. My problem, or why they have a problem with me, is I'm uncontrollable as a journalist. They don't know how to silence us. Censorship worked. Now we're back on X. It doesn't work. I use my power as a documentary maker to show people the reality of the problems that are coming. And the United States of America, brace yourself. Your immigration that you had up until 4 years ago under Joe Biden was Hispanic, Mexican. You have just opened your borders to Islamic immigration from Syria, Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan. You have no idea what's coming. You have no idea how powerful they will become as a vote bank either. No idea how your politicians and police forces won't know how to deal with it. And the general hostility. So in the UK, we have 40,000 British Muslims on a terror watch list. Four times as many British Muslims went to fight for ISIS than have ever joined the British military. There's a massive problem here. I'm not saying every Muslim's a problem. Of course, they're not. Some of the best people I met growing up are Muslim. But there's a massive problem. And I make documentaries and I show people the reality of what's happening on the ground in the UK.
Four times the number of British Muslims went and fought for the terrorists as joined the British military. That is such a jaw-dropping number. Tommy, can you walk me through, from your perspective in your country, when this began? When did they throw open the borders to every Islamist on the planet?
Well, it's the Labour Party, so your Democratic Party, and they've admitted this, they've done it to rub the right's nose in it. And they've done it to bring in loyal vote bank politics. So loyal voters. So basically the working class, I'm from a working class community, the white working class used to support Labour. As they aspired to better things, they then went on to Conservatives. Labour felt betrayed. They opened the borders to bring in people who were happy to be reliant on the state, happy for big government, happy to get benefits. So that's what they've replaced. And the power of how it works. So more than 50% of my town is Islamic. Now, sitting in my hometown, the Labour Party do a deal with the local leader of the Council of Mosques. So if you've got 20 or 40 mosques, they'll have one leader, sits down with the Democrat Party, the Labour Party, and does an agreement. You give us this, you give us this, you give us this, we guarantee you 50,000 votes. Now, the way the Islamic community are, there's no assimilation, no immigration. They're all in certain areas. So in the swing cities and swing states, they can control the vote. So they can say to the Labour, they can say to the Democrats or the Republicans, well, we'll get you this percent of votes, because every one of them will vote in a military fashion for whoever the leaders of the mosque tell them to vote for. We then become irrelevant. And not just that. So some numbers for the UK for the biggest problems. 90% of the convictions of Muslim, of groups of men who rape young children are Muslim, 90%. 30% of the men convicted are called Muhammad. Muslim men make up 2.5% of the UK population. You're not even allowed to ask, why are they so overrepresented? Why have the Sikh community not done this? Why have the Hindu community not done this? The Jewish community? Everyone's come to this country, assimilated and integrated very well. But there's one community that is hostile, as I said, hostile, violent, drugs, everything. All these problems come from one community. And if you try and discuss it, you're a far-right racist hooligan and you just need to shut your mouth while you're replaced. That's what we're seeing. I use my skill as a documentary maker. I've made multiple documentaries. I currently, Jesse, I faced that film I just showed there. They're going to lock me up for it. The entire British establishment, media, politicians and police for the last week have full-on attacked me, made lies about the riots that are going on in the UK, said that I've instigated it. The evidence is the total opposite. I never once have. I've called for calm from the start. So, and that's because I've made a documentary which is near on 40 million views, which totally exposes the corrupt, weaponized judiciary. They used the court against me, just as they used it against Donald Trump. Everyone knows what they've done. The difference is I've made a documentary that covertly records how they've done it. People being paid to remain silent. You have to watch the film to understand it's a far bigger story than Tommy Robinson. It's a total attack on dissident voices. And it's not just happening in Great Britain. We all know it's happening everywhere. The need for a cultural revolution is not just in Great Britain. It's across the whole West, the whole entire West. We've been weakened. We're being flooded. We're being attacked. And people need to stand up. And people began to stand up in the UK. On the 27th of July, I led the largest gathering of British patriots this country's ever seen. 100,000 in London, 100,000 in central London, totally peaceful. Our method has always been totally peaceful, but we sent a message to the establishment. It's David versus Goliath, and David's not backing down. We're not backing down. You may try to censor us. The most important work I've done was under censorship, but since Elon Musk gave us back our voice, we're reaching the masses. And they don't, they have to control what you say. I look at America as having freedom of speech. Do you really have it? If YouTube, if Facebook, if Instagram, if all these platforms, TikTok, they're under their control. You only get a certain narrative. You get pumped a certain idea. Did you get real free speech with COVID, with all these different things? Or did you get lied to? And they hate anyone who gets in the way of that or gives a different perspective. That's what I do as a journalist. They don't know how to control it. I would say that 100,000 people in a totally peaceful manner, 1 million people watching it live online, we were on the verge of a cultural revolution in Great Britain. And that can spread, and it will spread, because other countries will look for inspiration, and I'll say it's the British spirit. We've been silent. You've woken a sleeping lion. That's what they've done. They've woken a sleeping lion, and that lion's not going to shut. And for too long, if you look at our country, with 1,000 years of English history, in 70 years, they've literally destroyed it. Are we going to stay silent for another 30 or 40 until it's gone? No, we're not. And because we're saying that, we're a danger and a threat. We're a danger and a threat. So I urge Americans to watch the film, but I urge Americans to wake up, because you have to understand how quickly this happens. I'm from the town where I come not talking about what I've read about. I've lived in that town. I've been brought up. I've seen the dominance. I've seen the cultural change. I've seen the attack on freedom. It's gone from women being free to leave the house to scared to leave the house. You can't allow that in your country.
No, you can't. I'll tell you what, I couldn't possibly be cheering for you guys any harder. So tell us what we're seeing now, Tommy, because I'm not there. All we get are highlights. All we get are your dirtball PM talking about how he's going to crack down on all this hate speech and things like that. What's happening now on the ground?
You've seen the British public push to breaking point. You've seen them push to breaking point. What they don't say, for example, Hull. There was a riot of British men in Hull. They don't tell you that a refugee in the hotel, because all the hotels are full of fighting-age Muslim men that have been imported that we're paying for. One of the men left, he stabbed someone to death while shouting Allahu Akbar, said he'd done it for Palestine. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you that in hotels across the country, one in Oxford, one of the refugees left, raped an English woman. One in Tamworth, raped an English woman. One all across the country. And the level of insanity, and what, in a town called Bournemouth, a refugee come in, said he was 15 years old, so they put him in school. In fact, they've just arrested four teenagers, refugees, unaccompanied migrants, for raping a child at school in our country. They're being prosecuted now in our country. But this migrant come in, said he was 15, so they put him in school with our kids. He sexually harassed children. Everyone was too scared to do anything because they're like protected, because they're migrants and refugees. When he gets to 20 years old, he stabs a Royal Marine, murders him through the heart, stabs him in the town centre. They then do an investigation and find out he wasn't 20 years old, he was 25. So when he come into the UK, he was 20 years old. Then they find out he shot two people dead with an AK-47 in Serbia. They're not checking any of these people. They're bringing in killers, literally, rapists, literally, murderers, and they're putting them in the schools of our kids. And they're wondering, the frustration has built up. Being silenced, what you're seeing now is the frustration. In a one-week period, we had a soldier in uniform. You wouldn't have read about this on the news because they hide it. A soldier in full military uniform left his house. A migrant got off a motorbike, went over and stabbed him 15 times. His wife jumped on him trying to stop it. He continues stabbing and stabbing him. They tell us it's mental health. They tell us it's a mental health episode. He didn't stab anyone but the person in military uniform. And they say it's mental health. And that's what. And then we had three children murdered in a dance. They were dancing in a Taylor Swift dance lesson, 7, 8, 9 years old. He come in and butchered dozens of them. Butchered dozens of them. And the public come out in fury. Yeah. If you listen to what the public are screaming, they're screaming, save our children. Today, they made arrests for another Muslim jihadist who was going to attack and blow up a Taylor Swift concert in Austria. Our borders are open. Why? Close the borders. Give us back our safety. Give us back our culture. Give us back our future. Because you've taken the future of our country. And everyone now realises due to social media, their control of the narrative has been taken away from them in the last 6 months. They had control for 5 years. That's why they despise me, Jesse. That's why I am number one target for them. I will end up in prison. I already know that for the film I've made. They already told me you'll go to prison. But that film is so important, and it will expose their tyranny. Even when they lock me up, it exposes them more than it does me. They're on trial, not me.
No doubt. Tommy, I really respect you, sir. I respect your sacrifice, your patriotism. Please keep going. We're rooting for you over here. The documentary is called Silence. Go watch it. It's really important you do, and share it. All right? All right. I want to talk a little bit about free speech. We're going to talk to Charles about this in a moment. Free speech, what the leaders think about it. Why do they hate it so much? Next. Before we do that, we're going to talk about your cell phone. I know that sounds like a weird transition, right? But the truth is that so much of the censorship going on, not just in the UK, here in the United States of America, is done by corporate America, working hand in hand with the government. Corporate America has chosen a side. Are you going to choose a side, or are you going to pay them to do what they do? You know Verizon will happily hand over all your information to the government. AT&T, T-Mobile. These companies hate you. They hate your stance on free speech, guns, COVID, God, you name it. Pure Talk loves that. Pure Talk stands with you. They fight for you. You'll pay less. Same great 5G network. Switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
That's all wrong, actually. Joining me now, Charles Gasparino, author of the book Go Woke, Go Broke. It's about a lot of this censorship garbage. Charles, why are all these communists so in love with censorship? Of course, they all call it misinformation and the dangerous thing, but they just, in the end, they just want you to shut up, Charles.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you if Walt is a communist, though he channels a lot of Marxist thought. You know, I mean, just some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, the notion that freedom was, that the First Amendment doesn't cover disinformation. And by the way, one person's disinformation is another person's information. And it often, you know, listen, as we all know, because we all lived through the COVID crisis, we were told that disinformation was the Hunter Biden laptop story of the Post that turned out to be true. We were told that vaccines are 100% effective. If you said that wasn't true, that was disinformation. And, you know, status like Mr. Waltz and increasingly CEOs that occupy the C-suite, people that occupy the C-suite of these companies, you know, are taking this sort of leftist, almost Marxist view of information. Listen, Elon Musk did the free world a great service by buying Twitter. Because before, and renaming it X and firing all the left employees, because before that, Twitter was a place that, quote unquote, censored disinformation, which happened to be anything that didn't follow leftist orthodoxy. And that was corporate wokeism run amok. And I actually address this in the book. You know, the fact is that I remember there's an anecdote in the book where Jack Dorsey, the former CEO of Twitter, calls a bunch of conservative journalists in the room and says, I want everybody to know here that, you know, we're open to all points of view. And this was a time when a lot of Republicans in Congress were trying to revoke Twitter's Section 230 benefits, which is essentially allows them to publish anything and be free of any legal liability from it, including libel. they're not a traditional publisher because of this sort of incredible benefit that they get and other tech companies get. And, you know, there are Republicans who say, nah, they should be that because get that because they're actually a left an arm of the Democratic Party. And so Dorsey came to try to sweet talk these guys, and it didn't really work out because he had just tweeted out a couple of days before that about, you know, basically some leftist garbage. And he also had no idea who Bill Buckley was. So from what I understand, the conversation didn't go that well. And, you know, for good reasons. I mean, Twitter, you know, it's old management. You know, if you're talking about restrictions of freedom of speech, these guys, Waltz would agree with them 100%. And Elon came in, bought it, and really created a global town hall of, you know, one of the things I think, you know, I think the positives, if you're a Trump fan and a Republican going into the presidential election, is that Twitter is not going to be censoring right-wing thought. There's going to be pushback. If you say X on Twitter, if you say that J.D. Vance is weird, right, you're going to see on Twitter, which people get a lot of their information from, just how weird the Democratic Party is. You know, its embrace of transing children, and I can go on and on. And that's kind of, you know, Elon, how he sort of leveled the playing field by taking corporate wokeness out of Twitter. And I kind of chronicle that, plus the entire movement to the left of big business.
Why did big business align themselves with the government so easily?
Well, government plays a bigger role in business, as you know, right? So there is a obvious financial incentive to do this. That was one reason. I mean, there's never one reason why anything happens. It was a confluence of factors, including, you know, change of the boardroom. I mean, there were essentially many more progressives that became CEO and, you know, occupied management positions. And there's a groupthink that occurs when that happens, particularly when all the CEOs go to Davos, which is the, you know, ground zero of progressive groupthink. If you've ever been there, which I have, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a party. You think you're in, you know, at a Democratic convention sometimes, only it's filled with CEOs from across the world. So some of that, there was a business incentive to go left, not just from big government in Washington, but from state governments. I mean, you have to realize like how the sort of investment ecosystem works. And I unpack this in the book. You know, big state pension funds, California, New York, Illinois, are all run by very progressive companies. If you're a big asset management firm, these big asset managers are incredibly powerful. BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. You want to manage that money. You have to manage them according to woke edicts like environmental social governance investing. And that includes, you know, forcing your portfolio companies to move to the left. You know, you have to have certain amount of diverse LGBTQ plus people on board seats in management. You have to, if you're an oil company, you have to invest in windmills and not oil companies and not drilling. And it goes on and on. And so you had that factor. And so when you put all that together, you kind of had a perfect storm. After George Floyd, then, you know, you could see how corporate America would go like woke on steroids as popular culture started suggesting that the country was systemically racist, even though we know it's not. They still bought into it. And, you know, I will say this, Jesse, it's a frightening book in many ways. You'll get mad.
Well, it's still, people need the information, though. You know, they need the information. It's a big club. Sorry, Charles, you're breaking up on me just a little bit there, but it's a big club, and we're not in it, as George Carlin said. Anyway, I encourage people to go pick up the book. It's a frightening world out there. It's amazing how quickly and easily the corporate world was co-opted. Anyway, we have more. We're going to talk to a professional boxer next. Before we get to him, I want to remind you to subscribe, YouTube, Rumble. Rumble.com/Jesse Kelly, YouTube.com/Jesse Kelly. Go there, subscribe to the channel. We're putting a lot more stuff on there, growing that stuff. So if you want more of this, that's where you can find it. All right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
There are a lot of things to dislike about men and women's sports. Pretty much every part of it is sick and gross and wrong, changing in their locker rooms and things like that. It just gives me the eebie-jeebies, I guess. But it's the combat sports portion of it that really freaking irks me. Now we've got dudes beating the crap out of ladies in the ring, and just I don't know, maybe it's just the guy in me. It makes me want to hurt somebody. I can't stand it. Speaking of hurting somebody, let's talk to the former heavyweight freaking champ, David Nino Rodriguez, executive producer of Nino's Corner podcast. Look, David, this is definitely your sport, not my sport, but I just cannot believe we're in a place where women are forced to take shots in the face from dudes in the ring. It just blows me away, man.
No, it's disgusting. You're absolutely right about that. You know, I saw this coming a few years back, you know, with the whole LGBTQ movement and men who transition into women jumping into women's sports. I was like, very soon, very, very soon, this is going to give way to sports like my beloved boxing, UFC, things like that, or combat MMA. I don't think Dana White would allow it in UFC, but I've been surprised before, but I don't see Dana White doing that. But the fact that boxing, especially Olympic amateur boxing, is allowing this to happen is a disgrace to my sport. It's a disgrace to our species. It's disgusting. And you're going to see somebody get badly hurt or killed.
That's what drives me crazy. It can be so dangerous.
Let me just say one more thing. There's many times I've been in the locker room where I've seen people collapse with a blood clot. I've seen this firsthand more than 30, 40 times, okay? I have watched people die. This happens more often than not in boxing. The consistent head trauma, the consistent head blows to the brain, to organs within the body, to the liver, to kidneys. This is a very dangerous sport. It's not like a woman and a man, like the picture you're showing there, just running a race. You know, nothing happens to the woman when she loses. In boxing, the men's bone density is much more, it's a lot denser. The testosterone, the fast twitch fibers, the strength, everything is just off the charts compared to a woman. So you saw that one Olympic athlete take a knee and say, this is unjust. Well, she's lucky she was able to do that. She can walk into the – I've seen this before. You can walk into the dressing room, collapse, have a blood clot, you're off to the hospital, and you die. This is, I've seen this more often than you would believe. So this David, is sickening. This is something I can't believe this is happening in my sport and at an Olympic level. But when you understand the agenda, when you really understand what the globalists are trying to do here and cause this mass type of confusion and chaos, it's what the doctor ordered. So you know that this is all part of the agenda.
Why do they want to do it? Why? What kind of a sick freak would want to see a woman be brutalized and die? Because like you said, it's coming. It's going to happen. It's in the ring.
Psychopaths. Psychopaths. This is at the very core of this, we all know this is a spiritual war. We all know we are in a spiritual war right now. And at the very core of this, these people, these esoteric, these occult believing people, it's a bloodline war. They want to decimate and destroy the human species. They got to take out the man. They got to confuse the sexes. That's what they're doing. And in my opinion, with all the research and studies that I've done and all the interviews that I've conducted, I am damn sure positive that they're on their way in this agenda. And it's all strategy, order out of chaos, and it is a depopulation agenda. Now, you may say, well, that's conspiracy, this and that. Well, I think not. Just look at 2020 and look at World War III is off to a great start. So this is an agenda, and it is to decimate and destroy the human species. And the reason I say that is because I'm a strategist. I've been a fighter my entire life. I can recognize strategy. I can recognize I've dealt in a psychopath sport with people like Don King and Bob Arum and promoters and managers. I've been in the filth and then in the guck as a boxer and a fighter since I was 5 years old, and I was raised in the sport. So I know these type of people, and I know what that attracts.
Tell your story real quick, because you wrote a book. It's a very, very interesting story from 5 years old to the freaking heavyweight champ.
Yeah, I was bullied. I was picked on as a kid. I got beat up by a girl when I was 5 years old at the playground, and my dad took me to the gym and said, "No son of mine." And right about at that time, my sisters were dressing me up in nightgowns and curlers, okay? Putting makeup on my face. My dad's like, "I gotta somehow intervene here." So then he took me to the boxing gym, and it just created a life of its own. And it was a very scary place. My dad walked me into the boxing gym at 5 years old and left me there. And I'm not talking about a white collar boxing gym. I'm talking about a gym that's in the ghetto with the poor kids. He dropped me off right in the slums and said, "You're gonna learn how to fight." And sure, I learned how to fight. And it was a tough road, but I developed skills. And in my first amateur fight, I knocked out the junior Olympic champion, and I went on to win 6 belts in the heavyweight division in professional. I was 36-0 at my peak, and 34 knockouts, 25 in the first round. I mean, I was unstoppable, man. And I was juggling extremes. I was juggling, it was very self-destructive. So I was juggling drug abuse, cocaine. I was drinking a lot. I was an alcoholic. And I was juggling. I was burning the candle at both ends. And that ultimately was my demise. That's what destroyed my career. And I take full blame for it. I should have been one of the greatest heavyweights that ever lived. I feel that I was unstoppable up to when I was 36-0. And then a lot of misfortunate events happened. I almost lost my life twice. I overdosed on drugs, flatlined, got brought back with a defibrillator. In the same year, I came back and won 2 more belts. And then at the end of the year, I was walking out of a bar and some thugs came behind me and slit my throat. And I lost 2 pints of blood, got 369 stitches, and almost died again. Then I came back and I had an unsuccessful return into the ring, where I lost twice by knockout, and my whole life got nuked, and I had to rebuild from the very ground up. So I hit rock bottom and found out that rock bottom had a basement. So I'm lucky to be alive, and I'm proud to say I'm 4 years and 7 months sober.
Look at you, sober, successful again, rebuilding your life. That's That's as cool or cooler of a story than being one of the greatest of all time. And it just cracks me up. Nino Rodriguez got beat up by a girl at one point in time. No one would believe that if they didn't hear it from your own mouth. No one would believe that. Man could kill someone with his bare hands. He got beat up by a girl when he was 5 years old. All right, Nino, I have to ask, the political awakening. I don't know what kind of political home you grew up in. I'm sure it wasn't that political, though. It's fighter families generally aren't that way.
Kind of weird. My mom is has a lot of liberal beliefs, but she's fiscally conservative. My dad's conservative. But I as I got older, you know, I would have said I was more liberal. And then as I got older, I transformed and became conservative. So I'm definitely conservative. I'm definitely I didn't really identify with either party. I didn't vote Republican. I didn't vote Democrat. I didn't vote at all because I just thought it was just a rigged system. But when Trump came along, I was like, that's my guy. That's my guy. That's who I'm going for. He was and then as I started learning about Trump and really researching Trump and, you know, conducting one interview after another on my podcast, I started really understanding what this is all about. And I'm 100% a Trump supporter. So, you know, I do feel like this pendulum has swung left, liberal, radical liberal, and we are going to watch it swing right. But when that happens, we got to watch out how far right that does swing, because I don't think any extreme is too much. So I hope we find some middle ground and we all get back to breaking bread together and get back our country normalized, and nothing is too extreme. But I got a feeling the cure for the disease is going to be pretty extreme when Trump is back in office.
See, that's the difference between you and me, Nino, is I want to go as extreme to the right as humanly possible. I want it to be uncomfortable out there.
it's got to be that way, but I agree with you. I can't wait for the redemption, right, and the revenge, but I hope we come back to some middle ground and then everyone, we can have peace again, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, let's get back to life. Let's get back to life. Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to be in this, you know, it's because this is just going in a really bad direction. And I hope we fix it and get back to living our lives. And we can get rid of these non-governmental agencies that are funding these movements like LGBTQ, BLM. We got to kick the termites, the parasites out of our country. This should not be allowed. So that's what I think. We got to do a massive cleanup in this country.
No doubt. Nino, you are the man, my brother. Congratulations on your redemption story and a freaking great career. Champ, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. All right. Lighten the mood. Next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. But for this lighten the mood, we're going to do something we've done before on the show. In fact, we've done it more than once, but I still see people making this mistake. And as long as I see people doing this, we're going to do this lighten the mood, all right? So let me clarify. I know hurricanes. I'm no natural disaster expert, but man, I've been through so many hurricanes and typhoons. I don't know why I always end up where one of these things are. The Cat 4s, the Cat 1s, everything in between, I have been through them. So I get it. And I get what it's like. I really, really get what it's like to all of a sudden wake up one day and be surrounded by water. Maybe there's, God forbid, water in your living room. Maybe there's water in the street. Ah, look, we could go paddleboarding in the street. Woo-hoo-hoo! Allow me to please explain one more time. Hurricane waters, flood waters, are full of poop and bacteria. I know it looks like so much fun to go jet skiing up Main Street and then frolic in a big old pond that's in your front yard now. I know it'll make a great video for Instagram. I know. But you know what? Watch this video. Look at this video of this guy right here. Look at this. I know it made a great funny video online, but that's poop water. Please stay out of floodwaters, okay? Here's my PSA from Daddy Jesse. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.